The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
This is Vince Russo's The Brand.
Good morning, everybody. We are almost through the week. It is Thursday. This is a show called 8 Days a Week. This is where myself and Jeff Lane go over all the shows. Well, most of the shows, a little taste of the shows over at Russo's Brand. You get all of these guys. You could subscribe to every one of these shows for new subscribers. It is $4.95 a month. No long-term commitment. You can opt out at any time. Jeff Lane, what's going on, bro?
Not too much, man. Hope everybody had a good holiday weekend. Of course, all these shows and more. You get in video and audio. If you prefer to listen to audio on the go, Realm Network gives you your own private RSS feed. You can pop it right into your favorite podcast app. It is very easy. The feed will update when we post shows. Again, like Vince said, there's zero long-term commitment. You can opt out at any time. All you got to do is go to russosbrand.com right at the top. Click subscribe to the Realm Network. Of course, we are live on Twitch recording this on Monday morning. You can be a part of the show every Monday morning around 10 Eastern at twitch.tv/VinceRussoLive.
Bro, I got four promos I got to cut this morning. One promo I'm going to save for a bonus show. Okay. And one
that's on Patreon at the bro tier. We'll get that bonus show.
Yeah. Patreon at the bro tier, patreon.com/RussoTWC. I'm going to save that for this. And that is about my reconfirmation over the weekend of why January 24th is my drop dead date to ever watch another wrestling show. So I'm going to talk about that on Patreon, because now it's getting to the point that if I turn 60 and I'm still watching wrestling, I'm no different than this guy.
There's certain fans that know me as the jack off from Greensboro.
Yes, and I am not a jack off, and I'm going to tell you what I saw over the weekend. Okay, here's the three quick promos I'm going to cut. All right, because you always yell at me about time. Number one, bro, these douchebags firing fireworks after 11 o'clock at night. Like, bro, what is freaking wrong with people? Like, literally, what is wrong with people? Okay, the deadline for firing firecrackers is 11 o'clock at night, and that's being nice. That's freaking stretching it, going all the way to 11 o'clock. People were shooting off firecrackers after 11 o'clock at night, bro. I'm trying to sleep on Saturday night. This guy, it's not that there's even got to be a curfew or something like that. There's got to be common courtesy. Like, guys, seriously, you know, everybody goes through the trauma with their freaking pets on the 4th of July. Everybody knows that. Okay. So, bro, you gotta, you know, we had to have Penelope in bed with us, bro, till 11 o'clock at night, farting and drooling like the animal that she is. Bro, then you got your little kids. Okay, bro, your little kids celebrate the 4th of July. They're in bed. Bro, guys, have some freaking common courtesy. I'd have some freaking common courtesy. Right or wrong, Jeff?
Yeah, I don't know if some, especially on the weekend, if people really pay attention to the time, they think everybody's up. I don't know. The big thing, it doesn't bother me. It just bothers my dog. So that's the big inconvenience with me, because they get scared, especially my male dog. He will not leave like my side, and he tries to curl up in a corner against like a wall of the house, where the closest one to me, because the noise drives him nuts. But I'm okay with that on the 4th of July weekend. It's just random nights. Like a week or two ago, they were doing them in my neighborhood at like 11:30 at night. I'm like, what the hell's, like, why tonight? Like, it didn't make any sense. So that,
well, I'm not for after 11. That should be the cutoff. Here's number two, Mike Durbin.
What'd he do now?
I told him I would do his podcast. Okay, bro, Mike Durbin, remember, guys, he dumped me to go do the Mike Feeney network. I told him I'd do a podcast. So I said, bro, listen, I'll do it late Sunday night when Amy goes to bed, like late Sunday night, you know. So He starts texting me late last night, bro. I had a lot of shit I had to do. So finally said, okay, Mike, let's do it. Like, you'll have 30 minutes, bro. That's it. You got 30 freaking minutes. So, bro, it's literally, we probably started at about 10 o'clock at night. Okay? So he's all excited, bro. He's all hopped up because, oh, Vince, I've had this idea. I got this great idea. This is going to be different than any show you've ever done. I've been thinking about this idea. He's got this idea, right? Okay, Mike. Bro, keep in mind, it's 10 o'clock at night. Like, this is the last thing I want to be doing. Like, I don't want to be doing a podcast at 10 o'clock Sunday night, right? Okay, all right, bro, listen. So now he's messing with the screens. You could see this. You could see this. Yeah, Mike, I could see this. Okay. So, bro, he brings up WrestleMania 4 from Trump Tower, which was, I was 27, so it was 34 years. No, what am I saying?
It was 88. No. It was 1988.
How many years ago is that?
32.
32 years ago, okay? He's bringing up WrestleMania 4 from 32 years ago, and he's going through this clip, and he's thinking, I'm going to have all these memories of being there, like where I sat, like how did I feel when this happened and that happened. I'm like, Mike, are you out of your freaking mind? Bro, I don't remember. Bro, the thing starts off with Gladys Knight singing the national anthem. Bro, I am the biggest Gladys Knight and the Pip fan on the planet. I didn't even remember seeing Gladys Knight. I didn't even remember seeing Gladys Knight. Then he wants to know where we sat. I'm like, Mike, are you out of your freaking mind? What did you think about this match? And what did you think about that match? I'm like, Mike, I don't remember anything about this show. Like, bro, do you understand that I've written and produced like literally thousands of wrestling shows? I don't remember anything about this. Here's the only thing I think I remember. I think this was where they had the tournament, and I think Savage won.
Yes, that's correct.
That's all I like. That's it, bro. That's all I know. I don't remember anything about the day. I don't remember Yuka being there. I don't remember Vanna White being there. I don't remember Elizabeth going to get Hulk Hogan in the main event. I don't remember any of this shit, man. Then he turns real sad. Oh, it's going to be a crappy show then. I'm like, Mike, like, what do you think? I'm a mark? That's, he goes, oh, bro, I went to WrestleMania so-and-so, and I could tell you where we sat, what we ate, what time I went to the bathroom. I'm like, well, Mike, you're a mark. You're a mark. Me and my buddies, we lived on Long Island, okay, bro? We lived on Long Island because it was also in Atlantic City. We hopped in a car the day of. We went to WrestleMania. We came home and it was over, bro. This wasn't a highlight of my life by any stretch of the imagination. So I'm sitting there, I'm watching freaking WrestleMania with him from 33 years ago at 11 o'clock on a Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, I had season tickets to the Bills in the 90s. I went to so many games. If somebody asked me, hey, what happened at this game? Do you remember this? I wouldn't remember anything. It's hard to recall stuff like that.
Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, you got to be freaking ripping me, bro. Like, seriously? I don't know nothing about this. Zero. Nothing.
So how'd the show end up?
Savage went over.
No. You and Mike.
It sucked. I don't even know if I could use it now. I'm like, bro, you better freaking use it to make me do this on a freaking Sunday night. Now I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to get all kinds of heat. Why am I doing a podcast at, 10:30 on Sunday night?
That would be entertaining if he aired it as is.
Well. And here's my third thing, because I'm going to save the fourth one for a separate show. Bro, I swear to God, these freaking mamby-pamby baseball players. Oh, I may not play. It doesn't feel safe. At the head of that pack, just so you guys know I'm not a freaking homer, first of all, I drafted Mike Trout first. First! Bro, I had the second overall pick. I drafted Mike. Now, bro, I'm going to be honest with you. my season's over if Mike Trout opts out. But, bro, at least Mike Trout has a legitimate reason. Mike Trout's wife is due in August. Okay? So Mike Trout is, well, shoot, bro, if I come down with COVID, then I got to be quarantined 14 days. I can't see the baby. And what if I affect my wife? We're going to have a newborn baby that neither one of us could be around for 2 weeks. I get that. Like, I really do get that. Okay? So, you know, as much as my season's over, if Trout opts out, I can't even understand that. Guys like freaking Buster Posey, bro, you all coming across like the biggest crybaby I've ever seen in my life. As a matter of fact, I drafted Buster Posey like in the 25th round because nobody else would. And now I'm going to drop him for being a mamby-pamby baby, bro. Jeff, do you understand? Like, what don't these baseball players understand? Bro, they're in the safest environment. These guys are going to the same field every day, playing with the same players and getting tested every day. Like, what could be more safe than that? They're getting tested every single day. Are you kidding me? So what are you going to do, bro? You're going to go home and stay in your house? You're not going to go to the freaking grocery store? You're not going to go out and get gas? My God, bro, you're being tested every day. It's the same players on the field. Bro, 1% of anybody on the team, trainers, coaches, in the organization, 1% tested positive. 300 people out of 3,000 people tested positive. And you mamby-pambies aren't going to play? Like, are you freaking kidding me, bro?
I think that's 10%, 300 out of 3,000.
No, not 300, 30. 30 out of 3,000. 30 players, coaches, you know, whoever's working at the facility, out of 3,200 people, there was 31. That's 1%. And you guys are going to sit there and cry and you feel safe. Please, Buster, I swear to God, good, but trade him. Seriously, bro. Listen, I'm all for, and I've said this all along, wrestling shouldn't come back unless it's safe. And they're just idiots. Like, bro, if you're in wrestling, you're an idiot. Yeah, it's that simple. Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn, you can't wear masks. You know, guys wrestling each other, spitting on each other, rolling around on that sweaty freaking canvas. You know, nobody taking any precautions. They're not getting tested. They're getting their freaking temperature taken. These are major league ball players, bro, getting the best test possible. Like, give me a freaking break, bro. What is safer than that? What is safer than that? Buster, you're not going to buy groceries when you go home? You're not going to you're going to lock yourself in a freaking room? Every time you go out, bro, you're going to be exposed to it. And you don't want to play? Gee, he's getting traded today. I'm not even going to trade him. He's not worthy of a trade. I'm putting him on waivers today. I'm not worried about whether Buster Posey's going to play or not this year. And there's a lot of mamby-pamby players like that, bro. And I'm starting to think, bro, there ain't going to be a baseball season. Because they're all whining and they're all crying. Okay, guys, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when spring training comes around and the COVID is still around in February? What do you think? It's going to disappear by February? What are you guys going to do when the new season comes? What do you guys, let me tell you something. You better find another freaking career. I hope you saved up enough money to live the rest of your life, because if you're not going to play now, what's going to be different in February? So you think this thing's going to be gone by February? It's either you play and you suck it up and you make sure that, you know, you got the best care and you're being tested, or just freaking retire. Because this thing ain't going anywhere.
DJ Mad Dog with 60 bits, Troy with 100 bits.
I'm telling you, there ain't going to be a baseball. I'm telling you guys right now, Troy, there ain't going to be a baseball season. They're going to pull the plug on this because you got David Price opt out. Are you freaking kidding me? You just, can you imagine the Dodgers, bro? If I just traded for David Price and I traded some damn good players and David Price is now going to opt out. He hasn't played one game with the team yet. Can you imagine? Wait, are you freaking kidding me, bro? We just traded like three players for you and you're not going to play? Like, are you seriously? But like I said, bro, the thing to me is, bro, spring training's going to come around. It's still going to be here. So is baseball over for good?
I guess we'll see.
And these are athletes, bro. These are guys that work out. These are guys that should have, you know, strong immune systems. These are athletes, bro. These are guys that are supposed to be healthy, that are supposed to be rested, that are supposed to be dieting. These are supposed to be the premier athletes in the world. And you're mamby-pambying it? Did I have another one or is that it? That's it, right? Okay, I got another one for – I'm going to save the other one for Patreon. Let's go. What happened this week on the brand, bro?
Well, starting on Monday with castrating the Marks, in this clip, this is one of Wade Keller's minions talking about Orange Cassidy bringing in non-wrestling fans.
Whether they knew Orange Cassidy before a little bit or a decent amount or not at all or a lot, that whole group I think they've brought along to the point where you see – Orange Cassidy and Jericho as like a marquee matchup at this point.
Oh my God.
Definitely. I mean, Orange Cassidy is really the one character on AEW that I've seen kind of cross over and bring over, you know, some non-wrestling fans. I'm not saying that it's getting this brand new audience is finding it, but at least the people who had, you know, just kind of passively seen wrestling, that this is kind of the guide.
Serenity now.
Why? Because you say so? Where's your evidence to say that Orange Cassidy is bringing in non-wrestling fans?
Oh my.
Where is this evidence?
Bro, seeing Orange.
This schmo says it. It's true, right?
Seeing Orange Cassidy stand next to Chris Jericho is a freaking joke, bro. A freaking joke.
But it's literally like every week that somebody else is telling us that he's bringing in the non-wrestling fan and the casuals. Yeah. Where is your – show me the evidence, and then I will say, okay, thank you. We haven't seen one shred of evidence.
They're coming in droves, bro. They're coming in droves.
Like we said in that clip, you can just say that Orange Cassidy brings in non-wrestling fans. They didn't have any evidence. They never did. And now we saw what happened this week. You know, it's just these guys are talking out of their ass half the time.
Yeah, bro, you know, it's one thing to have an agenda and like everything strengthens your agenda. It's another thing when you start looking like a total idiot. Like, bro, when you're still backing an agenda and the facts are the complete opposite of that agenda, now, A, you look like an idiot, an absolute idiot, and B, like now you have no credibility. Your credibility's out the window. When you're sitting there and saying Orange Cassidy is a draw and Orange Cassidy brings in casual fans, and then Orange Cassidy with Jericho is the lowest rated segment in the history of AEW, and you're still backing that horse, well, now you've got no now you're an idiot. Now you've got no credibility. Now you've killed all credibility. And I think we've killed all their credibility since we started doing castrating the Marks. These guys waver back and forth every single week. Numbers are fine. Numbers aren't fine. Ratings don't matter. Ratings do matter. Every week, bro, these guys are wavering back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, you know, depending on what the situation is. And that's why they lose credibility. And, you know, like I said, bro, you subscribe to them. You're giving them your hard-earned dollars. Bro, that's great. Bro, like, listen, I swear to God, I'm teetering whether or not Howard Stern gets my hard-earned dollars anymore. Because, you talk about phoning it in. You talk about mamby-pamby. This guy has not left his house since March. He believes everything they're telling him on TV. You talk about mamby-pambying it, bro. And I'm one of the most loyalist people there is. You know that, Jeff. Bro, I can't tell you how long people have been telling me to dump you. You know how loyal I am, Jeff. No matter what, the same hat. Bro, I'm loyal to you.
Loyal to the hat.
And this guy, I mean, I'm ready to cancel Sirius, bro. And you guys are still, there are people paying these guys for them to go freaking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, week after week. Jeez, bros, give me a break. Call a spade, bro. Somebody say, bro, he shit the bed with the freaking ratings and he's in there with Jericho. And don't freaking tell me, bro, this and that, Johnny Gargano's abs were on the other channel. Don't give me that bullshit, bro. Bro, you going to tell me if you take Jericho and you slotted The Rock in Orange Cassidy's slot, or you slotted like 99% of any other wrestler in that slot, the ratings would have been the same. Seriously, bro? Come on, will you? I called it before the rating even came out. I said I was watching the show and you want me to believe this? You want me to believe Orange Cassidy against Chris Jericho? You honestly want me to believe this, which is going to be a part of the Patreon show later on.
Moving on to Tuesday, talks with Taylor Hendricks this week. She had on Fightful.com's Sean Ross Sapp. Here's a clip from that show.
You have been gaining a lot of success through various, you know, reporting, whether it's audio, video, writing, and you've actually managed to maintain a very good reputation, which is very hard for interviewers and reviewers and so forth to maintain in the professional wrestling industry. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, I mean, it depends. I love what I do. Like, there's a lot of different things I could cover and I've been open to covering, but pro wrestling was always the main thing I wanted to cover. That and MMA. Those are my two loves. I care about those two things above any other sports. And there it wasn't as crowded of a field either, so I lucked out in that regard. But the fact that it wasn't as crowded as a field also like kind of played to my disadvantage, because if you become a wrestling writer, people aren't always going to believe what you say unless you're Dave Meltzer. And there are some people that don't even believe what he says. Like, there are some people who don't want to believe anything. So to me, my thing was always, okay, be yourself, have fun doing it, because you're covering pro wrestling and it's going to be ridiculous sometimes. And that's the thing that I tell my staff. I'm like, don't pretend to be somebody you're not, because people will see through it. They see people playing characters on Raw and SmackDown and Impact Wrestling. They know when somebody's playing a character, or they're very good at deciphering that. And always make sure your stuff's as accurate as possible, because especially in this day and age, if you want any staying power, you don't make stuff up. Because if I went out there and said, oh, Roman Reigns did this and he didn't, it would be very easy for him to pop on Twitter and be like, no, I didn't. And it's a lot different than 15, 20 years ago. Like, people weren't updating their MySpace all the time to dispel rumors and all that stuff. I mean, it happened here and there, but you have to be as accurate as possible. You got to be as fair as possible. And that's what I try to pride myself on. I want to have fun. I want to be fair to these people, but I want to still cover things as well as I can.
So objectivity, basically, yes. And honesty.
Yeah. I mean, I've met some people in the business that I didn't quite like, but if I'm going to watch their match on a Friday and I don't happen to like them, I owe it to them and I owe it to like my readers and my viewers to be objective about how they're performing in the ring, or how their segment went, or something like that. Just because I had a negative experience with somebody, or a positive one, I owe it to viewers and myself and my company to be fair about that, no matter what. Like, and that can change. I mean, I'm sure you know as well as anybody, some weeks you can have really great stuff, and then the next week you're like, maybe next week it'll be better. And that happens plenty.
Also last Tuesday, the newest Mr. versus Mrs. with Big Vito and Noel. They were discussing what restaurant has the best fast food fries. Here's a clip from that show.
You guys know Vito loves boy bands, like, a lot. Like, he will rock and sync all the time. And the Backstreet Boys.
I don't even know who they are.
Really? If I played it right now, if I said right now for the Alexa to play a Backstreet Boys song or an NSYNC song, you would dance to it.
No, babe, I don't want to dance to it. I'm
Alexa!
Don't even do it.
Play Backstreet's Back. Yeah!
Rock your body!
Yeah!
Everybody,
rock your body right.
Backstreet's back. All right.
So you have been proven wrong. You can look at you can't stop. You can't stop. When that song comes on, you can't even stop your body movement. Admit it. You love boy bands.
On the People's Album.
Yeah. All right. That was a nice little interlude there. But you love boy bands, and that is why you love 3 Count, and you'll never stop loving 3 Count. You can't. Shane Helms can say anything he wants to you, and you will still love 3 Count at the end of the day.
Holding hope that I'll get my green circle in the mail.
Yes.
On Wednesday, the Raw and SmackDown review, you, Stevie Richards, Ben Hameen talking Baron Corbin and Matt Riddle.
I swear to God, I was just reading how Corbin was not happy that he was immediately put in a program with what's the bro kid's name?
Matt Riddle.
And he let it be known. And I was reading that he felt that Riddle should have had 4, 5, 6 wins under his belt. And I was just reading this. And then at the end of the show, bro, there's everybody and their mother-in-law giving Baron Corbin their finish. This is what we talk about all the time. This is wrestling, bro.
Hell, I got the call to drive to Florida to hit him with a Stevie kick. I mean, bringing people in from all over, bringing in former talent. When does it ever? And it, you know, they send all these messages, even at a time with COVID, with half the roster testing positive and having to be quarantined. Like we said, with other things going on as well that keep swelling up week in and week out. Why are you trying to teach this guy a lesson just for standing up for his business or saying maybe he should do this before he even you turn it into something? I don't get it, especially with what could happen to that guy too.
How's this? Sorry, can you guys explain to me how this looks and works? Because I think I get it, but and whatnot, but I might miss a step of he is somewhat done with whatever Game of Thrones. He goes to who? The agent or Bruce and the writer, and he pitches his little thing, and then they shoot it down, and then they say, we're going to put you with Riddle, and then he goes in a biz for himself. Then who takes it and says, all right, this guy, and goes to the writers and says, this is what the segment's going to be, and everyone's going to run a train on him at the end. Is that Bruce? Is that a hitman and an agent? Or is that straight from Vince?
I think that's Bruce and Vince.
You're never going to know exactly. No one's going to come up and say, it was me. You pissed me off, and you're going to be punished for the next. They're never going to make it that cut and dry.
No, I think it's Bruce stooging him off to Vince, and then Bruce giving him the finish and giving the old, that's what the boss wants.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. He stooges him off, puts the idea in Vince's head, goes back to that's what the boss wants.
Because that draws the line. Either then, because you just took it from the executive producer, are you going to go into Vince's office from there and risk it, or are you on the – that's what Vince wants. Okay, but that's going to hurt me, so I'm going to go protect my business, and then you could be fired off that and taken off TV, or you've just submitted into the game and played the game exactly like they want you to, and you're just going to go take it for another week.
Well, here's the thing, though. It goes much deeper than that, though, because I'm sorry to interrupt. It goes much deeper than that, and this is where you can really just give yourself a migraine.
Of course, you take everything with a grain of salt that you read online. You know, the reports come out that Corbin was unhappy with this. You're reading it. Who knows if it's true or not? But based on the booking of that show, you guys tend to believe that was true.
Well, yeah, bro. Keep in mind, that wasn't the first time they did that to Corbin. Bro, there was another instance a while back where he took everybody's finish. If you remember when he was GM or whatever. Remember that with him and Kurt and all that shit, bro, the same exact thing. So now there's a history of this. So what I tend to believe, bro, I do have a little inside information on this too. I can't give it up. But what I do tend to believe is Baron Corbin was a professional athlete. Baron Corbin is not a child. Baron Corbin does not come across like a mark and, oh, I'm just happy to be there. So all those things tell me Baron Corbin probably isn't afraid to speak up. That's what those things tell me. And if, you know, he feels something isn't right, or maybe he gives his ideas, which he should be giving, but that's how the babies, handle it on, in the bubble. Let's teach him a lesson, bro. Let him take everybody's finish. Ha ha, ho ho, ha ha. Bro, they're such babies. I swear to God, they're infants. They're freaking infants, bro. What does that do for Baron Corbin that he takes everybody's finish? Does that get him over? Does that get Baron Corbin? Like, please tell me what that does for him, bro. Bro, I'm writing a little indie. I'm writing a little indie promotion, and I don't even do that to students. I don't even do, cause why? What? Why? How does that get Baron Corbin over? He's man enough to take everybody's finish, so that's gonna get him over, bro. I'm just saying, bro. They're such babies. Like, my God, if my future was in the hands of the Bruce Pritchards of the world, I swear, bro. Like, I would, literally, please.
On Thursday, Black and White. You and Stevie Ray in this clip, he's talking about an interesting law that existed in the 1800s.
Going back to what some of the things you've admitted to me and some of the in-depth conversations that we've had on this show and some of the in-depth conversations we've had outside of this show, I commend you for being an open-minded person, a person that does not bring politics into his thoughts, a person that does not bring, you know, that can admit what actually didn't know, and now I'm learning, didn't have the open mind to that, to try to make me a better person. And as you've admitted before, you know, I want to give some of the solace of which, you know, you've learned to your granddaughter to make a better world for her and things of that nature.
That's right.
I can commend you for those things. It's the person that has a closed mind to what's right in front of his face. And will not budge on whatever his beliefs is, even though he knows deep down in his gut and deep down in his heart, wrong is wrong. But it is what it is with certain people like that.
Bro, when you talk about right in front of your face.
Right.
Okay. They abolish slavery. No more will slavery be allowed unless you're a convicted criminal.
Yes.
Okay. So what did they do? They arrested all the black people. They were now convicted criminals.
Right.
So now they're right back to slavery. Like,
right.
Bro, they literally created that loophole.
Right.
Where if you are a criminal and you are arrested, you have the right. So what does that open the door for? That opens the door for, bro, enforcement to arrest you back in 1820, innocent right. or guilty, so you could once again become a slave.
Exactly. And they made a lot of laws and put them on the books, whereas they knew these laws would affect a certain community of people.
Yes.
So it was right back where you started. And that's why when people talk about the Civil War, okay, the abolishment of slavery was connected in that because of everything else that was going on. And, you know, you had the South wanting to leave the Union and being very opposed to what Abraham Lincoln was preaching at the time. So this whole theory of what's going to happen with the slave was already on the books before the war even began.
Yeah.
Because if it turned out this way, boom, this is what's going to happen. So in essence, it's the old trick, man, the old okie doke, bro.
Yeah.
And
bro, when you see it step by step by step, then mm-hmm. one thing that was such an eye opener, Stevie, is you have laid this out several times.
Now, Vince, this is the first I've ever heard of this. I definitely was not taught in school that once they abolished slavery, if a black person committed a crime, then they could still be a slave. I was never taught this. This is the first time hearing of this. Yeah. It's unbelievable to me.
Bro, there's a great documentary on Netflix. It's called The 13th, and it's all about the 13th Amendment. And that, bro, you'll get such an education watching this. That's exactly what they what happened, bro. Slavery was abolished. However, if you were a criminal, they had the right to use you as a slave. So what did they do? They arrested the black people. I mean, that was the loop. They literally, bro, created a loophole and used that loophole to keep the black people in slavery. It's freaking amazing, bro. I did not learn that either. And, you know, like I said, bro, I was watching that documentary and I'm like, wait a minute, bro. Like, are you freaking kidding me? And that's why I brought it up with Stevie, and that's what we talked about it. But unbelievable, bro. Just if anybody wants an education, I'm telling you, bro, watch that documentary on Netflix.
On Friday, Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco. In this clip, Disco was talking about NXT versus AEW.
What did I tell you a month ago on this show? I said, bro, of all the shows on TV, the one show putting the most effort in right now is NXT with character development, with the packages and stuff and everything. And I just think this is a gradual buildup of weekly good storytelling. And, bro, the past 3 weeks, they were getting closer. Like, there was a three-week period where they were neck and neck. You know, they were close, and then they passed in this past week. AEW might get it back this week. Who knows? But you can see the fruits of the labor being paid off in NXT. And, like, everybody, bro, all these guys, I mean, we could go back. The funniest thing is we had Kuhn on this show, didn't we? Wasn't Matt Kuhn on the show with me and you and stuff? Well, what do we argue?
He was on here once. I don't think
I know
Vince
we had
was.
Him on.
I don't think Vince was on. I think it was you, me, and him.
I know we had him on our show, okay, the Keep 100. And we were doing a preview of why he thought AEW would be the big thing, right? And, you know, bro, these guys have been saying, you know, Orange Cassidy's a star, Darby Allin's a star. They keep talking about these guys. I go, bro, you guys are acting like they're stars, but you're in the bubble of the people that are watching this, okay? To a person that is turning the channel, okay, and the gradual fan and the stuff and all that you're watching each week and stuff, bro, when you see Orange Cassidy come out, and his record says like 2-9. It's like you're not going to look at that guy like that. Here comes one of their stars. You know, bro, the guy doesn't beat anybody.
Well,
Darby Allin doesn't beat anybody. And they keep talking about these guys that know you make a star by turning him into a character that propels above the other characters. Losing to them every single match does absolutely nothing for the guy.
Bro, you know what was so bad last week? I wish I could get in Jericho's head. Jericho's a great guy. Jericho's all business. Jericho probably personally really likes Orange Cassidy. But what Chris Jericho has to understand is he's hurting his stock. Let me give you an example. Jeff, 3 weeks ago, or maybe 4 weeks ago, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, the AEW show ends with Jericho and Mike Tyson being pulled apart. Okay, now listen to what I'm saying. Jericho and Tyson, and we all saw the shape Tyson's in. Bro, yesterday, 3 weeks later, they're doing a Chris Jericho Orange Cassidy pull apart. And I'm watching this and I'm like, Chris, like, do you really expect any person that's been following your career that's not an AEW, Mark, do you expect anybody to buy this? I mean, bro, I'm watching this and I'm like, bro, if I stretched my imagination as far as I possibly could, seeing a pull apart between Jericho and Orange Cassidy, Jeff, I swear it's like pulling me apart from a 12-year-old child. I mean, that's what it looks like. And I'm like, I love Jericho. I respect Jericho. But he cannot think people are buying that, bro.
And in that clip, and Vince, you've been hearing this about, you know, what NXT's been doing with their storylines and building stuff. But It seems like every single time you have been told that in the past, and then you go to watch it to see it's the same old stuff.
Yeah, so. It's been three or four times. Yo, you got to watch NXT. You got to watch NXT. You got to watch. Okay, I'm not watching NXT. I'm like, bro, please. Like, bro, please. This whole freaking industry is freaking comical. Like, oh, God. August, September, October, November, December, January. 6 months.
Also on Friday, the Triple Threat podcast with the franchise Shane Douglas. Here's a clip from the latest episode.
It's kind of underwhelming for such a legendary career. Would you agree?
It certainly is, but it's again, look, see young grasshopper. Take a step back because now you've got the world believing he's retired, and then come WrestleMania, you say, let's do one more in front of a crowd. You can generate some interest that way. So I had heard that as being the end of the I didn't watch it, of course, but not for because I wouldn't watch it, just because I, again, have been so busy going 26 different directions. But I've heard quite a few people talking about it. You know, not as many as I'd heard talking about the Jordan thing, but, you know, more than 5 or 10, you know, which just out and about in the real world tells you that quite a few people must be watching that. I have not heard one negative comment about it. I've heard glowing praise of it every place I've heard people talking about it. So you have people now invested in a very well-done piece by the WWE on a very iconic character, like you said, a once-in-a-generation entity. And now you have those people that have tuned in to take all that in, believing he's retired. And so now you can see how very easily it would be. What do we have before the next WrestleMania? 9 months, 12?
Who knows now?
9, 10, 11 months. Yeah, I mean, you lose track of time, right? In the month to next November. Yeah, so, you know, you can see where this will be given enough time to sit and soak in and people think about it and then reveal that The Undertaker comes out a month or two before WrestleMania and says, hey, I think I got one more in me.
Of course, we go through to Saturday on the Realm Network, Russo's
Brand. How many shows we got on this Russo's Brand, for crying out loud?
We got a lot, don't we?
Gee, Manili Saturday. What's on Saturday?
Bucket full of chicken necks.
Oh, boy.
In this clip, you're talking about Renee Young's big announcement.
She made the announcement that she has a big announcement. She's going to make a big announcement. So, bro, right away, bro, these dirt sheet. Jagoffs, bro. Hold on. Let me go to my board. Let me give you an explanation. Okay, bro. These people. All right, bro. You know the type. The this is awesome. This is awesome. Crowd. You deserve it. Crowd, bro. Okay. They were made to look like horses' asses, and I love this stuff because Renee tested positive for COVID, and bro, quite frankly, there have been a lot of people in the WWE who have tested positive for COVID, but they're keeping it hush-hush. So Renee spoke out. So right away, bro, on the heels of that, Renee says, I got a very important announcement I'm going to make. I'm going to make an important announcement on Wednesday, yada, yada, yada. So, bro, right away, the speculation starts running rampant, bro.
Hey, what happened?
What's happening, bro? It's running rampant. Is Renee, did she get fired from the WWE? Is Renee going to AEW to join her husband, John Moxley?
Hey. What happened?
What the hell's happening, bro? What's going on with Renee Young? That's the scuttlebutt, bro. Everybody's talking about this on the worldwide interweb, bro. Even this guy, bro, was talking about this.
There's certain fans that know me as the jackoff from Greensboro.
Yes, the jackoff from Greensboro was talking about, is Renee Young going AEW? Is Renee Young going AEW? Hey, is Renee Young going AEW? Bro, I'm sitting back. I'm watching all this. I'm going hysterical because with all due respect to Renee Young, I think she's very talented. I think she's very good at her job. I think she's very good at what she does. I got no issues with Renee Young whatsoever. But, you know, all of a sudden, bro, everybody's waiting on pins and needles till Wednesday. They're all waiting on pins and needles, bro, to get the word from Renee Young.
Just go sit down and eat your pudding.
So, bro, Wednesday. Now we're waiting. Are we going to see Renee Young on AEW tonight? That is the question, bro. And what is the big announcement by Renee Young on Wednesday? How long are those crickets going to go, bro? Why do I need a 30-second drop of crickets? Give me 15 seconds of the freaking crickets, then move the crickets out, bro. I don't need 30 seconds of crickets. But anyway, bro, the big announcement came down the pike today, bro. The huge announcement, and that announcement is Renee Young is writing a cookbook. Bro, is that not hysterical? Is that not hysterical when they're going nuts on the interweb? She's joining Moxley. She's going to AEW, WWE fighter, yada, yada, yada. And bro, she's writing a cookbook.
Now, to me, like, she knew exactly what she was doing.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, that was brilliant on her part. Yeah. You know, she could tell where that would go, and now everybody knows that she's got a new cookbook out. Maybe she sold a few extra copies.
Yeah, and I'm not taking anything away from Renee. Listen, bro, writing a book, you know, and I'm sure Renee isn't sitting there writing down every recipe on paper. Maybe she is, but, bro, writing a book is a very, very difficult task. Very. Bro, if it wasn't, I'd be writing a third one. It's a lot of work. So good for her, man. I'm glad for her. I saw a couple of those diva shows where she actually is cooking. So she loves cooking. Good for her. I was taking nothing away from her. But, you know, the marks. Big announcement. Going to AEW. Going to AEW. Everybody, big announcement. Going to AEW. Let's set that radio for Renee's announcement at 8 o'clock. It's going to AEW. Like, bro, the whole... Oh, bro, the whole bubble, like the whole, as every day passes by, the more and more and more I am disgusted by the bubble. You know what I mean, bro?
There's certain fans that know me as the jack off from Greensboro.
But I hope she sells a ton of cookbooks. Renee Young seems like a bright young lady, a smart young lady. She obviously loves to cook. So I hope she does sell a lot of cookbooks.
Troy with 100 bits. Remember, guys, you get all those shows and more in video and audio. Very inexpensive. No long-term commitment. You can opt out at any time. Just go to russosbrand.com right at the top. Click subscribe to the Realm Network.
Yeah, and guys, remember, we have other shows, bro. Other shows. The two channels together. Just give you everything you could ever want brand related. So we have other shows also on patreon.com/RussoTWC. Totally different shows. Me and Bill Body with the rumors. We do a whole show about that. Me and PJ, Just Incredible. We do an AEW review. Francine is on the Patreon channel from ECW. So guys, check out
Time Out with Disco.
Yeah, Disco's got his own new show on there. Guys, mix and match, you know, experiment. Maybe one day you're on brand. Maybe one month you're on a Patreon. Maybe you get them both. We've kept it affordable, bro, so you guys can get both and enjoy all the shows. But remember, bro, everything we do, no long-term commitment. RussosBrand.com, Patreon.com/RussoTWC. Jeff, is there anything else you do?
Troy with 100 bits, Troy with another 100 bits, and Aaron MS with 200 bits. You can check me out, guys. I do a few things on the side, twitch.tv/JeffLane22. I do some gaming throughout the week, a few nights. I also have a Patreon starting at $1 a month at patreon.com/JeffLane22.
All right, guys. And if you sign up today, you will get the brand new Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Dirt. Tomorrow, you will get a bucket full of chicken necks. On Saturday, you will get entertainment all week long. Check it out, russosbrand.com.